It means a lot. The first thing that I would like to say about it is that I'd like to thank God, because I haven't thanked him enough publicly. I've been strong in my faith all season. I'm forgiven, I'm humbled, and I'm exalted. I think that just stand strong. I think that this whole process hasn't been a process of a miraculous comeback or anything. It's about perseverance, and I've stayed strong in my faith, and I stayed strong in my confidence and what I can accomplish. And I was put in the right system and given the opportunities, and I was able to capitalize on it.
That perseverance and stay confident?
Say it again.
Was it hard over the years to keep your confidence up, knowing that you could play like you've played this year, not having that opportunity?
Not at all. My confidence may have gone down, but my belief and my ability never did. Everything that I've went through in San Francisco and Washington wasn't really that bad when I look back on it. I'm not going to be the person to sit up here and say that I've been screwed over and I was done wrong. I'm not that person. And I'll never be that person. Things happen. I was able to speak my piece. I said what I need to say to each and every individual involved and the decisions that were made in San Francisco. I spoke my mind in Washington to the people who are making the decisions in Washington and Chicago. And I sleep well at night knowing that I said what I needed to say. And I was confident with whatever decision that was made when I left Washington, if I was going to play again or if I wasn't going to play again, I was happy because I said what I needed to say. And I think the hardest one was when I left Chicago, and I was sitting in my home in Lake Forest, Illinois, without a call from an NFL team in the middle of June. And I got a call from Coach McDaniels, and he wanted me to come out and play for his team. And I think when I think back, that was probably the breaking point in my career, and that was the most humbling point in my career, because that was the point where I told myself I was done. And I wasn't going to play again. And to have Coach McDaniels believe in me and believe in my talent and enough to bring me here was that was the breaking point to where I knew that I still can do special things in this league.
Brandon, were you concerned after not getting a uniform the first 14 games last year, and you came on at the end, the last two, but then the Broncos drafted a receiver in the first round, Demaryius Thomas, and Eric Decker in the third round. Were you thinking, oh my gosh, here we go again, I'm never going to get a chance?
No, not at all. Every year I've been in the league, there's been a receiver drafted high on every team that I've been on. And that just goes back to the confidence that I have in myself. You could draft whoever you want. I believe in myself. And I believe in my skill set. I bring a special skill set to the game and to an offense that I know nobody else can do. I know it. And I've always known it. And so it really didn't matter. All I need is opportunities on the ball, and I can prove it.
Brandon, do you feel like the freshest guy your age around in the NFL, given the fact that, you know, you were with these few teams and they didn't really use you that much? For it seems like you're out there playing like a 25-year-old this year.
Exactly. That's, you know, and it's funny, but that's how I feel. You know, I almost feel like, you know, Washington gave me a boatload of money to take a couple redshirt years. And so it's that's fine with me. And I think that, you know, this season has been a blessing health-wise. I'm not banged up at all. You know, it's been surreal. It's been surreal. And the tough part about it is because we all want to say as players, hey, my performance is the reason why the team is winning. And that's the tough part about this whole thing to juggle, is that that's not the case, is that my performance isn't translating into victories. And that's what makes it so hard to swallow this season. And that's what made it so hard for me not to really, you know, be extremely proud of what I'm doing, because ultimately I'm measured by wins and losses as a player. We all are. We're measured by wins and losses, and my performance isn't translating into wins. And so it's just I guess it's bittersweet, for lack of a better term.
Brandon, Champ Bailey did not make it this year. I know you get to see him a lot in practice. You also got to play against Darrell Revis this year. You got to play against Nnamdi a couple times. What do you think about Champ maybe not being one of the selections, and what you've seen out of him this year, and maybe those other guys that didn't make it at corner?
Exactly. Yeah, Champ's been an incredible professional. He's probably the most professional football player I've ever been around. He's highly decorated, he's humble, and he's the best at what he does. And Champ doesn't really talk a lot in the locker room. He's not a rah-rah guy. He doesn't hold a lot of private conversations with players, and he kind of opened up to me this season, probably about 5 or 6 games in. And we were able to talk, and mainly because I was persistent in pursuing his knowledge of the game. Champ's been an incredible inspiration to me, along with Elvis Dumervil in his absence this season, as far as motivation and just being focused and understanding that all I can do is go out and play and perform and let the chips fall where they may. There's been a lot of deserving players on this team. Ryan Clady has played through injuries and being banged up, and they deserve a lot of credit, and Champ being the number one guy.
I mean, based on the guys that you've gone against and knowing what you know about Champ, is it a mistake that he didn't make it to the Pro Bowl this year?
I don't think so. I think the with Champ, there wasn't really an opportunity for him to show what he can do right now until that Chiefs game where he locked down Bo. There wasn't really an opportunity for him to go up against somebody one-on-one, man-to-man coverage, no double coverage, no safety help, and really shut someone down. And that says a lot about a cornerback. And then you throw in there his age and how many years he's been in the league, and it's just like, damn. You know, if he had the opportunity to do that to everybody's number one receiver all year long, he would have been in hands down. No questions asked. But the players know. The players know. The coaches know. And I think if he had got the opportunity to show that he still had that in him earlier in the season, it wouldn't have been no questions asked.
What's this whole experience been like for your family too? Your season this year, finding out about the Pro Bowl today. What sort of reaction have you got from all those folks?
My mom and dad, my brothers and sisters, my cousins, my granny. Blue Springs, Missouri. I mean, it's excitement. Everybody's happy for me just because they know me, and they know that everything that I've been through, that, you know, it never changed me. I've always been me. I'm always going to be me. This was a goal of mine ever since I was drafted by the 49ers in 2003, was to be recognized by my peers and by the coaches that I play against. This is the number one goal, individual goal for a player, and they understand that I've been walking a humble path for a lot of years now, and you know I've made changes in my life to ensure that I'm able to walk that humble path and be clear of mind and clear of thought. And, you know, you can't really predict, you know, this happening in my career, in a career. It's just something that happens. And with that said, I'm dedicated, I'm devoted, I'm sincere, my integrity is intact. And so with all those things considered, I feel that I deserve this. And when it happens, I feel privileged. But I also feel poised, and I've prepared for success the same way that some people prepare for failure. And the people who know me know that that's who I am.
Anything else for Brandon, guys? I have wide receivers coach Adam Gase. If you have any questions for Adam, I'm going to put him on.
Oh, you know what? I want to say one last thing. You know, the things that really sticks out to me about when I first came to the Denver Broncos was how well the media accepted me, and I wanted to thank you guys for that. I don't know why the hell you guys would accept me and believe that I was any different than what you guys were told. But you did. Every team that I've been on has been immediate negative press from day one. And I want to thank you guys. I appreciate that. It gave me a lot of confidence to really be myself, and I was able to really come out of my shell and be myself and realize that me being myself isn't so different. I really appreciate that, and I really thank you guys for that. And I do credit you guys with my success also.
And we want to thank you and the
credit.
Thanks,
Steve. Guys, we have Adam Gase. If you want to fire away any questions you have for Adam Gase.
How's everybody doing?
Hi, Adam.
Great. How are you?
Good. Can you just talk about how I think one thing you just don't see in the NFL too often is a guy who's been in the league 6 years, three different teams. His seventh year on his fourth team, he doesn't dress the first 14 games, and then he produces in the last two. Could you just talk about what you guys' evaluation of Brandon, did that carry a lot of weight, how he hung in there and played the last two games last year as far as bringing him back and re-upping him for this year?
You know, I'd say most of the credit to that has to go to Josh, because he had a lot of confidence in him when we brought him in last June. He said, hey, work with this guy, get him up to speed for training camp. He goes, I feel like if this guy's anywhere near when he was coming out, you know, if he shows some of the things he did on tape at San Francisco, Chicago, he's got a chance to help us. So we got him up to speed. You know, he got a little nicked in the preseason, you know, in training camp, and then the numbers game kind of played with him, and then he was always, him and Josh had such a good relationship, he just never really got down on himself, and he just kept working and working and working. You know, he never gave up hope, the fact that he wanted to be here, he liked his teammates, he liked the coaching staff, he liked the offense we were running, and I think he just wanted to be a part of it. So when we got to that spring and you know, some things went down and he had an opportunity to slide in a spot, he just, you know, he shined, and that's what he did those last two games. You know, some injuries occurred, and he made the best of his opportunities. That Philadelphia game, you know, he was playing a position he never practiced, and he knew what to do and went in there and made four huge plays, and he made a fifth big play but got called back on a penalty that could have probably, might have had, gave us a chance to win the game.
Adam, can you talk about what? Go ahead, Mike.
How about during this off season? Then, as you draft a receiver in the first round, you draft a receiver in the third round. You know, that doesn't seem to bode well for a veteran like Brandon Lloyd. What was your talk about him after he did what he did last season?
He never flinched. That's not him. He's not a kind of guy that's going to be intimidated by any kind of competition. The first thing he said to me was, he's like, well, competition, that's the NFL. And like, you know, like he's told me before, he's like, everywhere I've ever been, somebody's been drafted. And that's what the NFL is. You always feel like somebody's coming in to take your job, no matter who you are. And you hear a lot of the great ones always say, every year I'm trying to prove myself over again. You know, he never worried about it. He just went to work and everybody saw him in training camp, and you guys saw what he's doing in practice, and then he came out in the preseason. I mean, he just kept getting better and making plays, and every time the ball was thrown his way, he did something with it.
Adam, could you talk a little bit about the adjustments that he's made to becoming the number one guy this year? This was a group of receivers that didn't necessarily have that number one guy going into it, but, you know, by midway through the year, it seems like teams are making a lot of adjustments, throw in more, you know, double coverage his way, those type of things, how he was able to adjust and still find a way to keep, you know, putting up the numbers, you know, week after week.
You know, he doesn't get frustrated by the way teams play him, and he knows that with the game plan we set forward of trying to attack what the other team's doing, he knows where the weak spots are, he knows when his opportunities will come, and he figures out a way, because he's such a, you know, with a veteran guy, he's got that savviness of, okay, if they do this, I know to do this. He knows when the ball's coming to him. He knows where the weak links are, and he knows how to expose teams. You know, he knows how to expose the guy he's going against. You know, if somebody's matching up with him, he does a great job of doing that. He just kind of never really, like, you never heard him say, like, I'm the number one guy. It was always about him, Jabbar, Eddie, DT, Decker. I mean, he never said, I'm the number one guy. He was always like, hey, you know, Jabbar's open on this, or you can get DT on this. You know, he always was trying to get everybody else going as well, because he knew if he was double covered, that means somebody else was singled up. You know, that was the great thing about him, is he's a really smart guy that helps us in an aspect of, he can let us know, hey, they're playing me like this, that means so-and-so's got to be good, you know, and that's been kind of one of the funnest things for me this year, you know, with him helping us more than anything.
Well, how about the, Adam, the one thing about Brandon that I kind of marveled at this year was the deep ball hands, you know, that deep ball where the ball's 50 yards in the air, 60 yards in the air, and the runner's got his back to the line of scrimmage. I'm not sure I've seen such deep ball hands like Brandon Lloyd. Is that something as a receivers coach that some people either have it or they don't? Is it something that they can work on? Could you just talk about Brandon's hands on the deep ball?
I think you hit it on the head. I think that's one of those things that you either have that or you don't, and thankfully he has that. I'm sure you guys have seen the highlights from the beginning of his career until currently, where he makes some catches and you're sitting there going, you got to be kidding me, you know. I mean, there's been so many this year. Just even last week, I'm sitting there going, I don't know how he just went over the top of that guy and just plucked it off his helmet. I mean, the guy's got an ability that I don't think many people have had, you know, at least that I've seen in, you know, the 8 years I've been in the NFL that have been able to do that.